Lindsay, and I am back, and I am in the studio, and I have guests. I am so happy that I have guests, because I love guests in the studio, and they are from the Newport Richey Public Library, the writers group that meets up there, and they get together, and they talk books, and they talk about writing, and they come out with these wonderful, wonderful books, and they're going to have a big event on March 4th from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., and they're inviting everybody to come out there and meet a bunch of local authors and have it's always a fun time up there in Newport Richey. And while you're there, you can go to Michelle's Chocolates and get some bombs, because she makes the best chocolate bombs ever. But again, Catherine, thank you so much. Catherine Long is with me. She's the author of Deadly Secrets. And do you want to introduce Henry Berner, who's going to talk about his Skitivia, book one?
I would be happy to. Henry is a relatively new member of our group. He joined, it's been a year or so now?
Time flies, I think. It's been about a year.
And we were so entertained when he started with us, because it's so unusual what he does. He hands out copies of each section of the skit each week. We meet every Wednesday from around 4 in the afternoon till about 7 in the evening, and we all get up and share what was something we've written, and then we critique each other's writings and help each other fix mistakes or problems and make our writing better. And Henry had us all in stitches, because so many of his skits are very funny. And so we have enjoyed him a lot. And he gets usually one member of the group to read one of the parts with him, and they do the skit in our meetings. So we have a lot of fun. It's a lot of great fun.
Well, the book is Skit Trivia, and which is really nice, because my son, when he was in college, well, university, when they were getting together, that's before the pandemic, they used to get together once a week, and they would do trivia night at the local pub, and because it was just a way to get together, and they loved trivia, and my son was always usually the winner, because he was homeschooled, so he had a wide knowledge of all subjects. He could be history, they could be literature, they could do anything, and he would probably know it. And then he'd also do the sports, and he'd know practically everyone. So he was always welcomed on to the groups. But this idea of getting together, Henry, I like this. So it's Henry Berner, and you are originally from Ohio?
Yes, that's right.
And you're here, and now you are making people laugh. So tell us about your book.
Okay, well, thank you, Patsy, and it's great to be here on Joy with Paper. Thank you for having me. And my book, I think what kind of started me interested in it was, as a child, the family reunion. We, as kids, always did skits, and the grown-ups, too. I enjoy writing it, and I worked as an activity director at one time, and I just didn't have time to pursue the writing like I did, but I've gotten a lot better at it since I've joined the writers group. And
it's wonderful that there are all types of books, and it's great to have a book like this now that people are done with the pandemic and they can start getting together to just sort of break the ice when you have a group and you get together. And this is fun. This is just a fun book. So it's what you do is you have an introduction here to skits that people can put on.
Right. Two people perform the skit, and then the audience, if you will, has a chance to answer the memory questions at the end. And in a way, it's different than regular trivia, because everybody's kind of got the same basic knowledge of what the answers to the trivia is. So it doesn't matter if one person is more familiar with the topic than another. The They're all built into
the storyline here.
Right, right, exactly.
And it's just to have fun, because it is great, really, if people start realizing the importance of being together and turning off their devices and actually talking and being together, having a nice meal, snacks, a little game like this. This is fantastic.
Right. I've done it at a few places. A couple of my friends had little trivia parties for me, and they invited their neighbors in, and two of us would perform the skit and then do the game. It was really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to promote interaction between people and some mental stimulation and comedy. These are
important. I'm glad you mentioned mental stimulation, because it is so important. And I think one of the things that people do not realize is that it is not, you cannot spend your life watching reruns on television over and over. You're not stimulating your mind. Our brains, you know, like Hercule Poirot and Agatha Christie's books, always talks about the gray cells. You've got a lot of gray cells in there. You need to keep always those, the little sparks going from gray cell to gray cell. But if you watch the same, exactly the same shows over and over, and they're almost all the same, you're not stimulating all the other parts of your brain. So this is, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do, do a book like this and get people interacting. I mean, like we used to do in the old days. I mean, my whole childhood, my parents and all of their friends, they were always doing skits. Mm-hmm. They were doing charades, playing cards. Now, that's stimulating. you know, and that kind of thing. So I think you've done a great service here, Henry. I like this book.
Well, thank you.
I think it's fun.
I enjoyed writing it. I'm working on a second book now.
Good. And that, so it keeps you busy, keeps your mind busy.
Right.
When all those gray cells working, that's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. And it's very nicely done. It's a nice size book and just easy to read, so that if you get together, you know, put on these skits. And I like that they're two people skits. I used to do skits. I had a girlfriend, and we used to do Lucy and Ethel skits.
Oh, yeah.
And my sister made us the costumes from the I Love Lucy show. Do you remember the program where they wore fashion from Paris, which were made out of burlap bags?
Yes.
My sister made those for us. And we would do skits for different groups, again, to cheer people up. and wonderful to do at hospitals. We used to do a lot of that type of thing, go to places and
yeah,
and put
assisted
on
living places.
It was wonderful. Yeah, lots of fun. So I think this is a wonderful idea, Henry. So, Henry Berner, you're an author.
Trying to be a good one.
Congratulations. So, it's just fun. It's fun. It's always fun for me when I find somebody who's really found this joy that I talk about. Because when I named the program Joy on Paper, I meant not just the joy of writing, but also the joy that people get from reading. Mm. And that's so important. So, you know, Randy, what is your reading background? Do you enjoy reading? Who do you
like to read? Weirdly, since I started writing, I've been reading an awful lot less. Just partially because I get an idea, I want to type it down. And also, I don't want to be as influenced by other people as I'm afraid that I might be. But I grew up reading. I cannot remember a time when I couldn't read. I can remember a time when I couldn't read very well, but I can't remember when I couldn't read. But I, you know, as a kid, I was always cramming down Hardy Boys mysteries and you know, beginner stuff like that. And then I got really into Golden Age science fiction and read everything by every author that I could possibly think of. And then I got sidetracked into, you know, quality literature. So you're kind of expected to put the pulp stuff up on the shelf when you do that. But, eventually I got tired of that. I'm not really tired. I just got to missing the ray guns and stuff. So I came back to reading more of the potboiler science fiction from my youth and found other weirder, more esoteric authors, in there, like Thomas Dish and Philip K. Dick and stuff like that. I found them, slightly before they were trendy. And, but I don't really have beyond a preference for science fiction, I don't really have a preferred genre beyond that. I'll just read anything anybody puts in front of me.
Well, when you're writing a story, mm-hmm. do you want to talk about one of your stories? Like
sure.
Maybe The Mark of Cain? Do you want to talk about that one?
I would if I could remember what it is. Okay, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that one now. Yeah.
I know. Do you want to talk about that one?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So?
Okay. Some of that, some of that takes some of its stylistic inspiration from John Varley's novels. He did a whole bunch of novels that were set on a heavily populated moon. And so I grabbed a couple of just aesthetic elements from that. Like, there's a huge plaza in there that's called the Varley Plots, which is a nod to him. But the idea was just basically demographics. People, I'm not sure the best way to phrase this. When I was raised, we were supposed to, just completely ignore race, which we did. I mean, that was the way things were done. And, I had friends of all different races and things when I was growing up, and suddenly that started becoming contentious in some elements of society again, mainly because demographics are gradually shifting to fewer, to a smaller percentage of the population being Caucasian. And I got to wondering, hey, what happens if that continues? Eventually, obviously, you're going to get to a point where, Caucasian folk are the minority. I don't really care about that at all. But I got to thinking, wouldn't it be interesting if there were some immortal people that couldn't change and ended up sticking out like a sore thumb in the society? So the story is essentially about vampires who can no longer hide on Earth because ain't no more white people on Earth. So they went to the moon, which is initially where the wealthy people from Earth went, but the same thing eventually happened there. So you have a handful of vampires that are basically hiding in unused portions of town. One of them rents himself out to parties as Bela Lugosi, so nobody really notices. They assume he's wearing makeup, but he's not. And they're just trapped. Plus, on the emotional level, it's just about the despondence of being around for centuries upon centuries upon centuries and having less and less connection to the world you're in. That's ultimately what it's about, is just the sense of alienation of just having lived way too long. And everything around you is alien and strange.
So, this is what I love about sci-fi writers. They come out with the strangest ideas.
It was kind of an odd one.
I thought that was an odd one.
Yeah.
When I started, I said, okay. I always like a book that starts off with a really good sentence, and this is a short sentence. I am so hungry. And I thought, okay, now I have to find out why is this person hungry. And so that's, sometimes it's just a little sentence like that that can catch you, because thanks. I read it and I said, okay, well, I've got to, I think at the time I was thinking, I'm sort of hungry. I have to find out what's going on here. So it's just, quite a few I really enjoyed. I enjoyed all of them, but there was one. Where's the other one? I think the Coast Guard one.
Oh, yeah.
Do that one.
Okay. Originally, like 15 years ago, I started writing a novel that was an alternate history of the space program. What if we didn't stop the Apollo program when we did? Because there were three other missions that were planned. And most of that didn't get done. And most of that equipment got reassigned to the Apollo program. To the Skylab program, excuse me. And one of the capsules that we sent up to the Skylab developed a defect while they were in orbit. So they weren't sure if they were going to be able to come back down from the space station on their own, or whether they were going to have to launch a rescue mission or whatever. And when I was being really OCD and going over all of this unpublished NASA stuff that had just recently been published, I noticed that the one that developed the defect would have been the Apollo 18 mission to the moon. And so it would have presumably developed the same defect on the way to the moon. And then, you know, we knew who the crews for these missions that never got launched were going to be. And I noticed that Fred Hayes would have been the commander of that mission. And Fred Hayes was also in the Apollo 13 mission, which they almost died. And here he is, you know, so had history gone down this other route, he would have been on yet another crippled Apollo heading to the moon. And I was like, well, he's a Jonah. He's just bad luck on the ship. And I had to write a story about that. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I had to write that.
Yeah, I like that. I like that one very much. Partly my association with the Apollo. I was lucky that when I was working with Walt Cunningham, he took me on a tour of, we were in Texas at the time, at Johnson Space Center. And so I got to do all the back, you know, backstage kind of stuff and go to all the hidden places.
That is so cool.
Oh, it was wonderful. I just loved it. Had lots of fun. So it was when I read that story, I got a kick out of that one.
I tried to do that one as technically as technically accurate as I could without making it boring. I went, you know, I pulled out a bunch of my dad's old stuff and was going over it and so on.
No, it's an excellent story. I really like it. So I just wanted you
Thank
to
you.
Know that. I thought that was really cool. Oh, well, it's just so nice when I'm talking to writers and. Sometimes writers who are, as you were saying, one of you were saying, it's very solo. You're by yourself.
Yeah.
You're alone. And it is hard for some writers to get out there and share. They don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little bit worried about being criticized, but I explain that that's good. You have to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
Because, just heaven help you if you are not up to it, because if you ever do get an agent and you ever do get a publisher, they are horrible. I mean, they are what the things they will do and the things they will say. You have to be able to take it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that you can hide away from if you want to get, you know, into the big time. But if you want to get better, even if you just, you know, continue your, you know, on a smaller level, you get better all the time to get this feedback.
And one of the things I really like about the Newport Ritchie group is that they're very good with criticism. When I first started writing a zillion years ago, I was hypersensitive to criticism. You know, just any you know, you really need to put a comma here. You take that as like a blow to the soul. And you gradually develop a thick skin for that. And you're like, okay, yeah, they're right. You know, I don't need 112 words in one sentence. But one of the great things about the Newport Ritchie group is they're very supportive in the criticism. You know, if you've really screwed up, they'll always point out one good thing at least, and then very gently address the stuff that could be improved. So I really like that it's not just you suck. You know, it's much more, this needs a little bit of work, but overall you're really good. You know, they tend to build you up more than tear you down, and that's really helpful and rarely unusual.
Well, no, it is. I mean, I'm not saying it's unusual, because there are groups where it is very tough and they are get unpleasant. But you have to have this feedback, because you cannot do it yourself. You know, there are people who hire beta readers, but if you can do it in a group, I think it's better.
Yeah.
I think it's much, much more helpful, a supportive group and a group that's encouraging, and they want you to succeed, because you're not in competition with each other. You're in competition with all the millions of other writers out there. You know? And everybody wants to get better as they go along. And you do. As you write, you learn how to paint that picture. Like you did here there are some of these stories in here where Randy, you really paint a picture. I can see it, and I got really thrilled with it. And the same with your book, Cherry Ames, well, not Cherry Ames, but the homage to Cherry Ames in Deadly Secret. So again, it's just wonderful to see the way that you all work together.
I just wanted to say that our group, we have excuse me, set some ground rules for the way we operate. And one of the things that we've taught our people to do is to try to bring out at least one thing that they liked about what they heard. And as Randy was saying, we try not to just make it all a negative experience. We want people to know that we found things that we thought were positive about what they heard, what they read also. And we really have a heart for, and our whole desire is for uplifting and supporting the authors and helping them, helping one another to become better writers and more successful writers. And you know, we can't gauge success by the number of books that we sell, because we've talked about that. That's just a hard thing to do, sell books. But I think what constitutes real success is when whoever it is has heard what you're writing or read what you're writing, is entertained and enjoyed it, then that's success. And so even if it's only one person, so we enjoy listening to one another and are entertained by one another and want to help each other become better. That's what we're all about. To tell you the truth, I never appreciate the comments that just go, "Oh, that was a great read," because that doesn't do anything for me. I would rather have somebody say, "Well, you know, that was a great read, but I saw this and this and this that you could do to make it better."
Okay, well, that's the wonderful thing about your group. And again, the event is on Saturday, March 4th, 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. And it's at the library there on Main Street, 5939 Main Street. It's going to be fun, and there's lots of things to do in the town. Get up there and meet the authors, get autographs, talk to the authors, and get inspired by their books. And among the authors will be Catherine Long with her Deadly Secrets, Randall Shands with Clearinghouse, and of course Henry Berner with Skit Trivia, which is a fun book. The three of you, thank you so much. I'm sorry that Paul couldn't make it in. Paul S. Moore, he wrote a book called Rules of the Campfire, which I found also very amusing and very interesting. He's got a strange mind.
Yes.
it's fun. Again, thank you. Thank you so much
for
being here.
Thank you, Patsy, for having us.
Well,
we enjoyed
great.
It.
And I think that I will have them do book buzzes for you so that we can have those and play those and send them to you, because part of the thing of really marketing your books is to have a platform and to have all of that. I don't know if you do. Do you have Facebooks that you want people to go to, or websites you want people to go to?
I've got a YouTube channel.
YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have an Author Central channel address on Amazon.
Hmm. But if they want to come up and see your group, they can just contact the library there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Great. Well, I'm out of here now. We're going to have to say bye-bye, but thank you again for being here. So it's been lots of fun. And everybody, remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your books will be turned into major motion pictures, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know, and you won't know unless you start writing. So start writing, because I'm hoping for Carol J. Perry's book. I love her series Haunted Haven, which is set right here in Florida. And one of the ghosts is Babe Ruth. And I love Babe Ruth so much. He's my favorite. I am a baseball person, and I follow the Detroit Tigers, so you know that I have to be a dedicated a baseball lover if I follow the Tigers. I don't think they're going to... do that well, but I love them. And say something nice to somebody today. I'll say something nice to Big Ed in the control. Thank you, Ed. You controlled all of us today.
Thank you, Ed.
He doesn't usually he only has to control me. Today he controlled you guys too. Everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye.